You are listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental spoken word radio. My name is Devin Chambers.
Your zipper is down.
My zipper is down.
Your zipper is down.
Your zipper's
down. How many keys do I have?
30 years ago, I found a body. Over a lifetime? Now I need some advice.
Your zipper is down.
One, two, three, four. Wait, oh, are we singing this? Is this a musical?
What is going on? What is going on?
One,
your
two,
zipper's
three,
down.
Four.
My zipper
Wait,
is down.
Oh, are we singing this? Is this a musical?
Your zipper is down.
On what is going
your
on? What
down.
Is going
your zipper
on?
Is down.
Two, three, four. I can't type fast
your zipper
enough.
Is down.
What is going on? What is going
My
on?
Is
One,
down.
Two, three.
Your zipper
four.
Is down.
I can't type fast enough for this.
Your zipper is down.
Chaotic sounds.
No, your zipper is down.
My zipper is down.
Chaotic sounds.
Zip up or down.
One, two, three,
zip up or down?
I can't type fast
Zipped
enough
up.
For this. Chaotic sounds. More need more chaotic sounds. My dog pooped on the carpet. I found the secrets to humanity.
How many keys do I have? Over a lifetime? Oh man. I'm actually thinking about this now. Let's see. One for my childhood home. One for my undergrad residence. One, two, three, four. For places I lived in Ontario. Another one for where I live now. At least seven, not including mailbox keys. Do you ever think you think too much about things? Yeah, grad school broke me. Grad school was like fetal on the couch for two nights, broke me. When I was a kid, I had a dream that my teacher was a cannibal. She was going to eat all of us. And we were hiding, but we had like flipped the desks over and we're hiding behind them, trying to like escape from her. But the weird thing is, she was a great teacher. I had no dislike for her. She was awesome.
And I'm trying to find a piece of mind that I need to write. She's in a long book. I think our bodies know what's in it and what's around it. It's like if I lose a strand of hair, if that detaches from my scalp, suddenly I'll feel it. But if it was still attached to my scalp, even though it's touching my arm, I don't notice that. It has its good moments, it has its bad moments. Yeah. Adults are allowed to make their own decisions, but they don't make great decisions sometimes for themselves. No, because they're adults, their parents can't force them to do anything anyway. How would you describe your relationship with your parents? Probably later. I don't think I really started to analyze that relationship until I was in later undergrad. Yeah. Sort of similar to you. They see the world very differently. And I am allowed to not agree with them on everything. but I can't express that opinion directly. I don't like that feeling guilty feeling. My dad's side, he has one older brother and two younger brothers, and also an older sister. Loud, they like to talk, they are very social and want the gossip and photos and want to know everything about everybody.
A regal rural ruler. Green glass grass gleams. A proper pot of coffee in a proper pot of coffee pot.
What?
A proper pot of coffee in a proper pot of coffee pot.
A proper pot of coffee in a proper pot of coffee pot?
Get grana,
your zipper's down.
Great Greek.
My zipper
Greeks.
Is down.
Your zipper is down.
Great grandma and a
your
Greek.
Zipper's down. Down.
Your zipper is down.
Great Greek. Greek.
Your zipper is down.
Get grandma. Great Greek. Greeks.
My zipper is down.
Your zipper is
get
down.
Grandma. Great Greek. Greek.
Your zipper is down.
Greek. You have a picture
get,
on the wall.
Get,
my
get
salamander
grandma,
has
great,
opened the door.
Grapes.
I have a picture on my wall.
Get grandma.
The salamander
great,
has opened the door.
You have a picture
great,
on your wall.
Great.
I have a picture on my wall.
My salamander has opened the door.
There's a picture on your wall.
Salamander has entered the room.
Picture is falling off my wall.
You know New York. You need New York. You know you need unique New York.
You know New York. You need New York. You know you need unique.
You know you need unique New York.
You know you need unique New York.
You know you know you know you New York. You need New York. You know you need unique New York.
You know you know you know New York. You need New York. You know you need. Unique New York.
You know New York. You need New York. You know you need unique New York.
You know New York. You need New York. You know you need unique New York.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Again.
That's right. Get grandma great Greek.
You know you need Greek new unique New York. You know you need Greek new York.
New York. Great Greek grapes good. York Greek.
30 years ago, I found a body. Now I need some advice. Hey guys, I need your help interpreting something that happened to me a long time ago. It happened in the spring of 1989 when everything was starting to melt. You see, I live in the Rockies and the amount of snowfall can get pretty ridiculous over the winter. When spring comes along, there's a pretty massive melt.
Oh, my life's so crazy right now.
As for myself, I was 18 and just wrapping up my first year of college.
But it really
honestly,
is.
I was
diagnosed with
secondary
pretty
stressful.
Like,
and so whenever I wasn't busy studying,
weeks ago.
I was trying to find a hobby that would help me relax. At that point in time, I had taken to hiking. It was pretty cold during the winter, but
bring,
if you bundled
don't
up,
bring gluten-free muffins around,
trail,
Devin.
Why did you eat gluten-free muffins?
Thus, I spent a lot of time that winter hiking up and down mountain trails and taking in scenery.
Were they
like, spring was really nice
like
for hiking.
3 o'clock.
The weather was warming
today
up,
was
so you
like
didn't have to wear
they
many layers or bring as much gear.
It's like 3 o'clock.
But at the same time,
Devin
it wasn't yet
finished.
The summer rush of hiking.
Like most
like,
of the movie, we're sitting in the lunchroom. And Devin goes and grabs one of there's a ton of cupcakes in the corner.
In the early
and he says, like, oh, this gluten-free one that's really good.
The weather was warmer than normal for the season, so the snow was really starting to melt.
He proceeds to eat
there were a few spots on the trail that I had to carefully maneuver around.
So on account of all the mud proceeds to eat a normal one.
Despite the obstacles, like, I managed to make it to a little clearing, like pretty
and
easily.
Then he goes back, like,
took a break,
like, within seconds, doesn't even wait.
Goes and eats the gluten free one. I decided to really get back to the
doesn't even think.
Started heading back.
And then, it was so
at
good.
One point of it,
the girl who's so actually like needs the gluten free ones comes in. And it was like, she was like,
awkwardly reached out.
Oh, there was a gluten free one in here like a second ago. She was like, yeah, did you guys know? What did she say? I think she said, do you guys know where it went?
Normally, there weren't many people.
And at first, you were saying that you were like kind of trying
either
to
way,
ignore
I
it. And then she asked.
And went back to navigating.
And then she asked again. And
then
Tim was like, oh,
path,
yeah.
I noticed that the
I
person hadn't moved.
Like, so matter of fact.
An uncomfortable feeling
and then
I shouted, hey, are you all right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She said, are you celiac? And you're like, no.
Then I stepped off and walked towards
him. You're gonna
when
do
I
it.
Reached
lie.
In my gas, like, it was a dead body. Hiking,
straight up.
Occasionally
yeah, lying
out
so good.
Would be especially if they hadn't taken the right precautions. But actually forward, seeing a body yourself is something else.
Oh, that's what I said.
His skin was unnaturally
way
white.
Way
his
you
eyes somehow looked
like
they retained
the
essence
time.
Of life.
Yeah.
And yet were wholly dead.
I lived in a house.
However, as much of a shock finding a dead body was, that wasn't what really freaked me out. It was the fact that he looked just like me. Black hair and tight curls, light brown eyes, cleft chin. It looked like he could be my doppelganger.
Like everything was cheaper then.
I stared at him for a while and then noticed there was something beside him. I brushed away the snow to find a cat, also frozen, curled up beside the man. The cat was all black, save for a white stripe down the top of his head. After looking them over for a bit longer, I took a deep breath and headed down toward the entrance of the trail to get help. That night, I heard a report on the frozen man in the news. They even mentioned the cat. However, I don't know if they ever found out who he was. Either way, I soon put it out of my mind, and after about a week, I was back on the trail like nothing happened.
Worse now. I think it's
so the reason I'm bringing it up now is because of something that happened last night. My son came home with something wrapped in his coat. He's turning 20 this year, and the resemblance to me is just uncanny. Though I suppose that's what happens when you have kids, right? Anyway, he walked into the living room and looked at me with the same light brown eyes I have and said, I found this guy all alone. You think we can keep him? And unfolded his coat to reveal a black cat with a white stripe on the top of its head.
I have a really hard time lately trying to figure out what the correct number of sheets and blankets should be on my bed for optimal temperature.
Okay. And then I had a bouquet of flowers that I got from grad, and I left them in water in the living room for a really long time, and it just made the whole house smell rotten.
I have been having a really hard time focusing. My brain has been very scattered recently.
Okay, so
let's see. I have brought
we'll just do like a past, present,
about
future.
A liter
so
of swamp back
past
to my apartment.
Card. It's justice.
I
okay.
Started a really bad sleep habit where I've been waking up again in the middle
card.
Of the night
it's
and
the
getting up
nine of Ralph's.
And like doing stuff.
Okay.
Like, you know, go to the bathroom, like, get some snacks, like, hang out, and then go back to bed.
And this is your future.
And it's, like, a terrible sleep pattern habit, and I don't know how to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That's cool. We have, like, these giant, like, garbage disposal things, right? And a colleague had to throw out, like cans of whipped cream. So he's like, watch this, and he like throws the cans of whipped cream down, and then he like presses the hydraulic press,
okay,
and they
so
all just explode. And there's just you just look
justice.
Down there, and there's just cream everywhere.
Objectivity.
I was
balance.
Rollerblading on the weekend.
Tough decisions.
And
I
was
half
like
full, half
going down this ramp,
Orange Julius.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have brakes on my rollerblades, and
settle
I tried to stall myself with a fire
rational,
hydrant, but
oh,
instead.
No.
Resolving
I just broke
a
my arm
with a law firm.
Pretty cool, right? My very first broken bone, so it's kind of a milestone.
Hey, congratulations.
Wow, you made it this far.
I know. That's...
Okay.
So, nine of Ralph's.
It would have been in the fall of 2013.
This is the present.
In commune with nature,
work surrounded away, with natural doing my beauty, thing, trying to save up money to travel,
beyond the self,
and then I turn around and I'm like, there's this car like barreling down the paradise, parking lot,
or indulgence.
So I jump and I land on the hood. Turns out it's all my friends coming back from school, trying to see if I'm off work early.
Okay, and then the last, so he slams on the brakes, Colin's
on the hood of my car. And like I'm a pretty tall guy, so I like slide and my feet hit the pavement and the car just runs into me and I like barrel and I just bounce down the asphalt. So I broke my collarbone, fractured my femur, tore 2.5 tendons, and the hyperextension of where it hit me in the leg like left like this huge dent in the ball of my knee, so I can't actually have the knee straight. It's either like overextended or hyperextended.
Divinatory meanings for all 78 cards.
7 years ago, which is ridiculous. Tarot
spreads, consult your local psychic. I'm not a local psychic, so it's a it's a slim pickin', but
I appreciate it.
That was at a point where I'm like, I just finished my undergrad. I don't know where my life is going. I'm sort of doing some internship thing, but like no like legit career, and like at the internship and like doing stuff like that and like doing data entry and whatnot. And it's like just sort of reminded me of home, I guess. Chinese violin hitting it. Yeah, it's like it's, I don't know, culture was a big thing for a little while that I was trying to figure out. Am I Taiwanese? Am I Canadian? Am I, what am I, right? My parents are very, very much Taiwanese. Very strong Eastern values and whatever, whatever that means. But I obviously grew up in Canada, so there's a conflict there.
Today I'm going to talk about the time that I meditated and went through a black hole. You know those days you just really grumpy and nothing else to do, nothing can cheer you up, so you decide to go inside to figure it out. I was doing that. After trying to calm my thoughts, I will start thinking about the other thought, which my friends were talking about, reaching the other realm through meditation and discovering other realms, like a real realm finder, that type. So you meditate, you calm your thoughts, and then there you are in this like blank space where you see and think nothing. After that point, you start to prepare and see something. And then I did that. I calmed my thoughts and I was in that blank space. What do I do now? Let's go to whatever. And then I see a black hole and that gets closer to me. Now it's way closer than ever and now it's touching me. It's like a condom from head to toe. It's covering me. Imagine it. A condom without its rubber, just a ring going around me, but crushing my bones and my muscles. I'm dying.
But not really.
And then immediately I wake up because it was really scary. And I didn't want to be associated with it. So I disconnected.
don't know, it feels like you're leaving something behind and you're meaning something, you're coming up to something new and different. Yes, that can be kind of jarring, isn't it?
Gavin Peterson. What I exited. Alberta, Red Deer.
My name is Andy Lamb. I was the director of... What was I director of? No. I was director of... I don't know what the hell I taught. I was director of Resilience Grants Programs. There you go. How about that?
Hi, my name is Caitlin Karanik, and the position I most recently exited was grad student.
I went to Vancouver. East Vancouver, mostly. But I did explore around a little bit more. I've been to like most of the like little surrounding cities.
I did that for probably about 5 years. I worked for the company, the Alberta government, for I think a total of 36 years. I retired. I didn't need to look for the opportunity was to stop working and become a leech on society. I don't know.
I was doing a Master of Arts in Human Ecology. Master of Arts in Material Culture. It was like, I swear, 50% not being able to handle not doing anything for another year, and 50% I wanted to do a master's thesis because I'd never done one before. Big and scary and hard. And a challenge.
Just existing, which is pretty fun. Really prompted mostly by meeting someone who lives here and deciding to come out here to see them. But planning on leaving right here in Alberta for a very long time, or like several years actually. I'm not really sure if it would ever happen. Its limitations a little bit. Wanting to explore and see something that I haven't seen for my whole life.
Well, it was a combination of things. First of all, I'd worked there for 35 years, and I had accumulated a pension. And second of all, they were going to get rid of me. So, but my position was becoming redundant. In fact, they were restructuring. And there wasn't going to be a place for me, which was okay, because I said, okay, I'm fine with that. So I said, I'll retire and you won't have to try to find somewhere for me to fit in. I wasn't sad at all, actually.
Ooh, well, the first year with courses was really intense, I guess. Yeah, like it was the most intense schooling I've ever gone through. It's like a joke that I always am like, oh, I don't know if I'm passing. And then obviously I always do. But this time I like honestly had no idea. It was going so fast and everything was so hard. Like I had really high expectations for myself. I was like, I'm gonna get all A's or all A's with only a few B's or whatever. But yeah, by the midway through the semester, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm passing. I truly have no idea. It was intense. It was an intense period of work and not very much sleep, which I'd never gone through before. I've never really pulled an all-nighter past 1 a.m. In my undergrad, never. But yeah, I would do like a couple of those a semester.
It's good, I've got momentum now and have a bit more say in things. It was a very easy transition, actually. Very surprised at how easy I went from much more solitary to spending a lot of time around people. Even though like spending time like on days where I'm just in my van, it is pretty isolated. Sort of balances out the fact that everywhere you go there is people here. Yeah, just for like 6 months in Edmonton. And that was actually like much more antisocial than this, because I just went to school and that was about it. And other than that, I just would stay at home or like wander around.
Oh yeah, very much more so, much more attractive. I don't have to do anything. I get paid for it. What did I like most about my job? I don't know, probably hanging out with a group of like-minded people, working with a team of professionals that we were able to accomplish a lot of stuff. We had a sense of purpose, you see? As a group of, especially well, the last few years anyway, we had this sense that we were doing the right thing. We were accomplishing important things, and that I think we all shared in that. We were promoting flood and drought mitigation. We were helping communities be better prepared for future extreme climatic events, whether they be floods or droughts, which we know are coming. So we were helping them funding and building projects that would mean they're better able to handle these events when they happen.
Yeah, so you're doing all these really hard things and producing more academic work than you've ever produced in your life. Very tired all the time. Very overwhelmed, very confused. And then all of a sudden, they're just like, okay, you're done. Now go write the thing. And then you don't have anything. You're just like free floating in the void. Yeah, you just have to like do it.
The move was like, well, I guess it was like a little bit panic because it was very last minute. I just sort of threw all my things into the vehicle because I was worried about travel restrictions and not being able to make it into the province, or specifically into Vancouver. So I just left. Like, I was still supposed to go to work. There was like a whole week of this that I just didn't go to. Lots of stuff. Didn't like tell people that I was leaving until after I was already here. So that was actually, maybe it was for the best, because it really like severed ties with things. I feel like I didn't really leave a ton behind. So that was good. And it's been so pleasant not working at all. Yeah, I remember like the feeling sinking in of leaving right around when I got to Jasper.
What did I hate about it? Probably the thing that I most hated about it was the obsession with organization, hierarchy, and structure, as opposed to just trying to work together and get things done. There were too many people worrying about we should be organized like this, and we wasted a lot of time, as far as I'm concerned, with internal navel gazing as opposed to doing what we were supposed to do. Yes, yes, navel gazing. Yes, it was somewhat of an obsession in the government.
You have been listening to Nothing to See Here, a program of experimental radio produced in Halifax. The Your Zipper Is Down was produced by Devin Chambers. It was based on conversation with Joyce Kuang, Victoria McInnes, Carmen Belanger, Dalen Chupik, Sean Abraham, Dan Becker, Aaron Santiago, as well as writing by Zach Hobbs, with music by Lucy Yao. Edited by Devin Chambers. Additional editing was by David Clark. Nothing to See Here is produced by David Clark.